each month at noon for WPKN's Organic Farm Stand, bringing you news and views from the organic community.
Hear our Small Farm Report.
The latest news on GMO labeling, pollinator protection, and organic growing techniques.
And interviews with exciting and informative authors, activists, and experts from the front lines of food system change.
Listen on the first and third Thursdays of each month from noon to one for the Organic Farm Stand from WPKN. I'm a union
man now all the way. City Lights Gallery hosts the 7th annual same-sex exhibit and the Bridgeport Pride Celebration on Thursday, July 20th. Festivities include an art exhibit reception with DJ and refreshments. The Bridgeport Pride March steps off at 7:30 p.m., followed by a cabaret-style variety show benefiting City Lights Gallery and the New England Ballet Company. This ticketed event at the Downtown Cabaret Theater includes an all-male comedy ballet, Liberace tribute, food, and drinks. Full details at citylightsgallery.org.
People from all over Connecticut are invited to come together for a general assembly to fight for an emergency transition to 100% renewable energy. It will be held on Sunday, August 13th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Charter Oak Cultural Center, 21 Charter Oak Avenue in Hartford, sponsored by 350 CT. Participants will propose, discuss, and adopt policies, practices, structures, and action proposals that will help create a fossil-free future. More info is at 350ct.org or email organizers at 350ct.org.
Danbury Animal Welfare Society is a no-kill animal shelter that has been making a difference in the lives of animals since 1974. We promote responsible pet guardianship and the humane treatment of animals, and we work toward ending animal overpopulation through our spay and neuter services and a variety of educational and community outreach programs. If you're looking to add a new furry friend to your family, we'd be happy to help. Stop by our shelter during our open house hours to visit with our adorable adoptable animals. Danbury Animal Welfare Society is located at 147 Grassy Plain Street in Bethel, Connecticut. Our open house hours are Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., and 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. To learn more about us, visit our website at DAWS.org. That's DAWS.org. We'd like to thank WPKN for this great opportunity, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
You're listening to WPKN, Bridgeport, 89.5 FM, and streaming online at WPKN.org.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But now it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days
afternoon. My name is Kathy Connor, and you're listening to Kathy's Corner on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming online at WPKN.org. And now podcasts are available on SoundCloud/WPKN Community Radio. And that's a fun thing to check out. Lots of shows that you can revisit or listen to if you missed. My show is part of a series that airs on this station during the week from 12 to 1 p.m., where experts share their knowledge, and sometimes I open the conversation for your participation. I haven't done that for a while. Maybe we'll do that next month. My show is on the third Wednesday of the month, and my expertise is the field of consciousness. Consciousness is awareness, it's intelligence. Waking, dreaming, sleeping, these are states of consciousness, physiologically different from each other, subjectively as well as objectively. That means they're experienced as different, that's the subjective part, and they can be measured as different, and that's the objective part. There are different brainwave patterns, for example, in each state of consciousness that tend to dominate. Blood chemistry can change, respiration's different. Throughout the 24-hour cycle, we experience different states of consciousness as one phase changes into the next. So it's always my pleasure to share with you over 40 years of learning and experience in the field of consciousness and the knowledge how to unfold more of its value from deep within the mind. I am the director of the Transcendental Meditation Program in Fairfield County, Connecticut. TM, as we call it for short, is a very particular form of meditation. It regularly, systematically provides the experience of the inner value of life, the direct contact with these finer fields of the mind. It's a deep value of the mind that it accesses. In order to unfold them, unfold the qualities for a higher quality of life, a higher state of consciousness. And I've used this analogy many times, but it's like clearing the fog off the mirror or moving the clouds blocking the sun. So if you've heard the show before, my theme is always to unfold the inner life for more successful outer life, and we just take different angles to do that. The inner, we know very well. We don't know as well. The outer, we know well. So what we want to look at in my show is the inner value in consciousness and its value in creating greater balance, really, in life. And that's the topic for today. We want to talk about balance. One of the main reasons that people seek out the TM technique is to find balance. They're looking for some balance in life. They want to be healthy in every possible way. There are many tools to improve health. We want to eat well, and we want to exercise and hang out with positive people and wear a hat in the winter because mother says so. We want to do what mother says. All these are valuable things to do for our health. But today, as we tend to do on the show, let's take a deeper look into health, a state of balance. There's a lot of discussion about healthcare on the radio, on the news, on the TV, and there's a lot of disagreement about it. But is it really a discussion about health care? So, just a food for thought. Or is it a discussion about a complicated system of administration all about disease care that everybody's bickering over? Are we curing anything? Are we just masking things, making sure that we get coverage for things? Are we healing the condition? Are we changing it? Are we providing options for promotion of best health? Or are we just dickering over how much money to spend here and there and who gets the most financial benefit and who are going to be the losers? That's what it sounds like to me. Although I have to admit, I haven't read it. I'm just listening to the news. But really, the leaders of our cultures, of our societies, they have a parental role and an obligation to ensure that all the people of the nation benefit, not only a segment of society. So what are we going to do to reduce or eliminate symptoms of illness? That's really what the situation is. How to address the illness once it's there. That's what everybody's talking about. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about a system that can eliminate illness so we don't have the need for all this discussion. Well, we're going to have some. It doesn't have to be this much. Some administration is absolutely important and necessary. Allopathic medicine, absolutely valuable. But shouldn't we also see what else there is to help us along the path of best health, real health care, not disease care? So, in doing so, many people find an ancient science of healthcare called Ayurveda. Ayurveda is a comprehensive system of natural healthcare. It consists of natural medicines, usually in the form of herbs and foods, and procedures. Ayurveda consists of many treatments, many modalities for both the evaluation of health, the maintenance of good health, and the treatment of illnesses. And these procedures are not based on what we're now familiar with, but they're based on the deep understanding of the physiology of the mind-body. And they see the mind-body, Ayurveda sees the mind-body as a reflection of the intelligence of nature. According to Ayurveda, the human physiology is a microcosm of the macrocosm of nature. The order displayed in the human physiology and throughout the universe is based on laws of nature. Your heart's beating, your synapses are firing, food's digesting, particularly if you've just eaten lunch, which is lunchtime now. All this is going on. You don't need a manual to tell it what to do. These systems, the organs of the physiology, they know what to do. And this is natural law, the intelligence of nature. Knowing this level of the physiology is Maharishi Ayurveda, and this understanding takes healthcare in a whole new but very effective direction. So I wanted to share with you some knowledge that I have about Ayurveda. I've actually been studying it for probably 30 years now, practicing it for that long. It's a very profound science, and we have had guests on before. A couple months ago, we had an expert on, Shankari Wegman, and she works at a university out in Iowa where she teaches courses on Ayurveda. So I wanted to share with you some deeper knowledge of it because people are beginning to hear more about it. The word Ayurveda, when translated from the Sanskrit language, it's a Sanskrit word, Ayu or Ayus means life or lifespan, and Veda means knowledge or science. So Ayurveda is the knowledge of life or the science of lifespan. Veda, that word, is the understanding of nature's intelligence, and Ayurveda is one of the branches of the Veda, and it is the knowledge of life or health according to nature's intelligence. Another branch of the Veda, which everyone has heard, is yoga, and we have talked about yoga also on the show. Today, we're going to focus in on health. And historically, Ayurveda is the world's original system of healthcare. And in more recent decades, Ayurveda has been revived by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who is the same sage who introduced transcendental meditation to the West. And that's because they're very close relatives, and TM comes from there. The TM practice, or the experience of going inward to unfold consciousness in order to experience more balance in life, is found in yoga and Ayurveda. Both of these branches of the Vedic knowledge complement each other toward a more balanced experience. And TM is that practice for the mind or consciousness found in both of these branches. Many years ago, Maharishi began working with leading experts and physicians and scholars of Ayurveda in India to authenticate this ancient knowledge for everyone's use. Like many of the world's natural systems of healthcare, much of the knowledge of Ayurveda had been lost or misused by the masses, so it didn't have the best reputation because it wasn't as pure as, and so therefore not as effective. Also, there had developed an atmosphere that the Western approach was the way to go, and that began to overshadow all these natural approaches. But fortunately, there were still a number of very brilliant Ayurvedic physicians preserving the various aspects of this ancient approach to health available. And so Maharishi took advantage of their knowledge and dove deeply into this science. And the result is a revival of Ayurveda, started about 30-something years ago, called Maharishi Ayurveda. So you'll hear me use both terms. And Maharishi Ayurveda is actually a modern scientific revived approach based on the ancient timeless wisdom of Ayurveda. So as I mentioned, we're hearing more and more about Ayurveda. I often will ask people when they come to hear about TM if they've heard about Ayurveda, and more people have, and it's showing up in yoga studios more and more. So that's one reason why I wanted to make sure that we took a deeper view of it, because it's not just what it seems to be on the surface. It's something quite profound. There have been great advances in the treatment of diseases with modern medicine, that much we've all benefited from. But we also know that these treatments come with unwanted side effects. Have you seen the commercials for something? And there, somebody is touting a drug and it mentions all the side effects. It takes a lot longer to mention those sometimes than the value that the drug brings. So it's kind of interesting that you have to, in order to feel better in a certain area, you have to deal with some of these side effects. But many people now are looking for a more natural approach. In addition to, doesn't have to replace naturopathic medicine. That certainly has its place. But Maharishi Ayurveda bridges this gap by offering natural preventive health solutions from many angles, but it's based on something fundamental. And that's where we begin to really understand how profoundly important this information is to your overall good health. I'm going to reference a book that I just finished reading by Dr. Robert Keith Wallace on some of these very profound and refined principles of Maharishi Ayurveda. And the book is called Maharishi Ayurveda and Vedic Technology, Creating Ideal Health for the Individual and the World. Now, if you're a regular listener, you may recognize his name. We had him as a guest on our show last fall, and we spoke with him about another book of his called Dharma Parenting, Understand Your Child's Brilliant Brain for Greater Happiness, Health, Success, and Fulfillment. So we interviewed him, I did, about his book, which is really a very profound book about Ayurveda and its application for raising children in a most healthy environment. And if you missed it, you can catch it on SoundCloud. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming online at WPKN.org. And if you want to hear Dr. Wallace's talk on Dharma Parenting, he's also an expert in the brain and Ayurveda. You can catch it on WPKN Community Radio at SoundCloud and look for Kathy's Corner. Okay, so that was a little segue. But Dr. Wallace is a physiologist, a scientist who has spent over 30 years studying Ayurveda with some of the greatest experts in the world. So this book I'm referencing today, again, it's called Maharishi Ayurveda and Vedic Technology, is compact. It's just over 100 pages, but it contains the most profound understanding of Maharishi Ayurveda I have seen in any book on this topic. And I wanted to take you out of the simplicity that you may start to see about Ayurveda. You're going to see, oh, what's my body type? Okay, it's so much more. That's important. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we want to look at the foundation of Ayurveda. Dr. Wallace begins at this very fundamental level. And that is the field of consciousness. A primary understanding in Ayurveda is that consciousness forms the basis for best health. So he says, I'm going to quote him, arising from this field of consciousness are the various levels of the physiology of consciousness, ego, intellect, mind, and senses. These levels form the anatomy of consciousness. They are broad principles and structures of natural law at the foundation of everything in creation, the basis for the entire universe, which includes the human body. Now, what we've seen in our cultures is we've kind of separated ourselves from that level of life. We can understand natural law, the seed becomes the apple tree, but are we relating that to our own physiology? Yes, the systems and organs are functioning without a manual, but it's even more profound than that. Dr. Wallace continues to explain that with sequential unfolding of the laws of nature from this basis, eventually they take the form of matter. This is consciousness giving rise to matter, or the subject giving rise to the object. That's not very different from the explanation in physics that energy fields give rise to matter fields. There's a sequence here. There's an order in nature, a profound order in nature. Ayurveda explains and produces through its procedures the experience of a more refined physiology where consciousness transforms into these physical structures. There are laws of nature at every level of life, and at this refined level, the laws of nature are pure intelligence. No dust, no fuzz in there. It's just pure intelligence. And Maharishi Ayurveda emphasizes that the fundamental principle of Ayurveda is that nature is intelligent and the human body, okay, we're following the logic here, being part of nature, has that same intelligence available to it. It is at this subtlest level of consciousness where fluctuations are constantly giving rise to thoughts, emotions, desires, something a little more tangible now, and these transform and shape the physical body that we know. By gaining control over these basic fluctuations, we can influence the body towards its best health. If our awareness is open to that level, health can be optimal. Ayurveda is based on this understanding, the depth of intelligence of the human physiology that exists in all of us. This is the fine level of consciousness, we can say pure level of consciousness. And based on this understanding and ability to connect to those finest levels of consciousness, we can enliven that. We can achieve a deeply restfully alert state. This is a platform for good health, rest. Rest. The body uses rest to repair itself. Administration at this level is uncomplicated as opposed to on the level we see in Washington, which is quite complicated. Okay. It's a simple and profound intelligence of nature with immediate results and no side effects for a vital nervous system. This is the technology of consciousness, and because of its connection with natural law, Maharishi Ayurveda offers really a holistic approach to best health. And you can still attach to certain imbalances and address them directly. Absolutely, we'll want to need to do that. But at the same time, going deep within and giving the body some enlivenment at that deep level of consciousness where our self-repair mechanisms are at their best, enliven that. That has to be good. So being the physiologist and scientist that he is, Dr. Wallace compares this phenomenon of consciousness giving rise to matter, or body, we can say, to science's understanding of the DNA. He says, this is a quote from his book, "We see an analogy of this in modern physiology when the DNA, which contains all the information necessary to create and maintain our body, transcribes and translates that knowledge into material proteins, which in turn structure the body's systems." So we can take a system in the body and trace it back to DNA. So the DNA contains within it the knowledge, the intelligence for all these subsequent systems. You can take any part of the physiology and you'll find your DNA there. It's everywhere. There's a transition when the subjective becomes objective, when these finer fields of consciousness start to become matter fields. And when consciousness becomes matter, and when that occurs, there starts to show up various elements, various tangible things. And these we call the five basic elements. We have akasha. I'm going to use the Sanskrit words. I'll translate them also for you. There's akasha, space, vayu, air, agni, fire, jal, water, prithivi, earth. These five elements are the foundation now for more matter to start to emerge. And where are we headed now? Where are we going to go? I'm headed right to that place that everybody's heard these words when they hear Ayurveda, but they haven't heard where it comes from. The five elements combine to form the three operating principles of matter. And in Ayurveda, they're called doshas. And the doshas are the governing principles for the mind and body. Okay, so if you've heard Ayurveda, this is what you've heard, the doshas, vata, pitta, kapha. These are the three doshas. So you can take a simple quiz to determine what your nature is. That's fine. That's actually helpful. But now we're getting a deep understanding of why they work the way they do. And Dr. Wallace explains that they are combinations. Each of these doshas are particular combinations of the five elements. He says vata is a combination of akasha, space, and vayu, air. Pitta is a combination of agni, fire, and jal, water. And kapha is a combination of jal, water, and prithivi, earth. And just knowing that, we can start to understand the qualities of these doshas. For example, vata governs movement, such as respiration, the flow of thought, circulation, elimination. Pitta governs heat, transformations, such as digestion, assimilation, metabolism. And kapha governs all formation and lubrication, such as the development of a child, maybe extra body weight, lubrication of the skin, the joints, and lungs, so that they can function frictionlessly. So when these three principles, vata, pitta, kapha, are in balance, that's health. When they're out of balance, not so much. And there are combinations of these. There are actually 10 different combinations, but there are degrees and layers of them, and every individual is unique. And by knowing one's body type or physiological tendencies, the Ayurvedic physician is able to prescribe a healthcare program or treatment that's designed specifically for that individual. So this is where it becomes quite effective. The function of Maharishi Ayurveda is to locate the imbalances. So people tend to identify with their basic nature. Oh, well, I'm a pitta, okay, because I'm hot and fiery, okay? I got red hair and red skin and I'm hot and fiery. Okay, fine. But the Ayurvedic physician is a little more interested in what's out of balance now and addresses those imbalances with procedures, routines, foods, things that come from this knowledge of Ayurveda that can restore health and balance. So like a good contractor who sees the cracks in the wall of the house, and he or she, they're going to look for the cause of the cracks. And it's probably something in the foundation. So fix the foundation so the cracks stop. But you can patch the cracks if you want, but they'll keep cracking. So what I'm saying here is that modern healthcare addresses disease when it's a noticeable crack. And we can fix that on the surface, but unless we go to a subtler level and fix the foundation, it'll come back or it'll just be masked. If imbalances can be addressed before they become a full-blown symptom, wouldn't that be better for overall health and therefore healthcare and therefore healthcare costs? If people are getting sick less often, that's always good news. And this is actually what an Ayurvedic physician does. An Ayurvedic physician is called a vaidya, and they assess the imbalances of the doshas and offer recommendations to restore the intelligence of the physiology. So they're going beyond the surface and going to that depth. So I have had the pleasure for more than 20 years of sitting in consultations with well-regarded and respected Ayurvedic vaidyas, and it just never ceases to amaze me the way they interact with the patients. They're treated as a whole person, not someone coming in with a particular symptom. Avijah gets to know the person. They ask questions about their routine, how you're feeling, not just related to the symptoms, but their overall emotional state as well as their physical state. They may ask them things like, well, what do you have for lunch? And what do you usually eat? And how are you feeling? How are your relationships? They're asking because they want to get a big picture. But after speaking with the patient for a while, the Avijah then takes the patient's pulse to determine where the imbalances in the physiology are. They're not feeling for number of beats, like may be the case in Western medicine, but they're performing an ancient method of diagnosis called Nadi Vigyan, and that's pulse diagnosis. The radial pulse is taken on the left arm for women and the right arm for men, with the index, middle, and ring fingers, so the three fingers, index, middle, and ring fingers, because these fingers represent what three operating mechanisms are we talking about? Vata is the index finger, pitta is the middle, and kapha is the ring finger. And to be even more precise, because this is a very precise knowledge, each finger is divided, the pad of the fingertip is divided into five levels. There are five sub-levels of each dosha. There are also layers of the pulse. There's the deep pulse, there's the surface pulse, and in between. And all of this reveals various conditions of the physiology to the knowledgeable and skilled Vaidya. The pulse is a reflection of what is going on in the entire physiology, and that information is conveyed on the fingertips of the Vaidya. Many, many times I've marveled at their accuracy, what they can tell from just that's going on in a person's life just from the pulse diagnosis is absolutely astounding. And it's not a big piece of equipment. Okay, you just take it with you. You do have to be skilled at it. And most of these Vaijas have taken pulses of tens of thousands of people. But actually, it's something anybody can learn to do. The principal text of Ayurveda, the source of knowledge, comes from a Vedic text called Charak Sanhita. And to quote something from there, it says, physicians take an individual to be healthy only when vata, pitta, and kapha in the body are in a state of equilibrium. This healthy state represents the natural state of the body. That state of the body is the most cherished one. Now that makes sense. Everybody cherishes when they feel good. When the Vaidya determines what is the primary imbalance and where it's located, because all that information comes from the pulse, then the real fun starts, because the Vaidya will give recommendations to readjust what's out of balance. It's not just, oh, sorry, you have something over here. No, here's something to do to correct that. And they could be foods and seasonal routines and herbs and many other modalities that will turn the tide and bring back balance. Now, another basis of Ayurveda, there's a couple of them, but the purpose really is in prevention, to strengthen the body's defense system, the self-repair mechanisms, to resist disease, because it's coming all around us. And if the system can handle whatever germs or things are coming around without creating disease, well, that's always good. The goals of Maharishi Ayurveda, then, are to prevent disease, create health, promote longevity, because that usually happens when you prevent disease and create health, and unfold one's full potential from the field of consciousness. Now, another key principle in Maharishi Ayurveda is the balancing principle. So we've been talking about balancing the physiology, but it's actually a principle. The point of the balancing principle is to restore and maintain balance at every level so that one can effectively resist disease. So in order to resist disease, you have to have a balanced physiology. And best health in this case is not just the absence of disease, it's a state of balanced mind, body, and emotional health. And that's actually a normal state. That's one we'd all like to have, so that's normal. To not have that, we want to change that. So we want to move away from it. The Vaidya can detect imbalance before it becomes a disease. And this is really where that expression, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, that's really where the really applies here. And how effective would that be in our current healthcare system, saving a lot of money? Today, healthcare is really more disease-oriented and is addressed when the disease has taken hold and disease is normally treated at the symptom level. So it's a different place where we're looking at health these days. And this is what the discussions are about, really, regarding the Affordable Care Act. It's disease-oriented care. I haven't read it, truthfully, as I mentioned, but I'd like to know if there are things in there that people who want to do prevention, scientifically validated, prevention-oriented, real healthcare procedures. Now, that's really what we should be looking at as well, not only, but as well. So with the balancing principle at its basis, Maharishi Ayurveda actually treats the whole individual, locating the disease at its source before it has a chance to develop. But if it has developed, and they can detect what stage it's at as well, then there are modalities to treat that. But rather than focusing on the disease alone, Maharishi Ayurveda focuses on reestablishing balance within the individual so that the immune system and other natural internal healing processes are more effective. And Maharishi Ayurveda then actually reawakens the intelligence of nature that exists in all of us, but may not be working to best capacity, kind of taking a little vacation in some cases. So with just the Western approach to health, for example, if one's taking medication for a health issue, that medication is valuable, but it isn't curing the illness. It's masking the symptoms so that the person can make it through the day. But if you stop the medication, are the symptoms still there? But if you can remove the cause that are generating these symptoms, then the symptoms are eliminated because the imbalance has been corrected. Again, if you patch the crack in the wall, that's fine. The crack is patched. But if the foundation is the problem and it shifts again, then the crack comes back. So wouldn't it make more sense to save more time and money to find out what is the cause of the crack and fix that? Okay, that's where we would like to head in with our healthcare system. There's a process in the physiology that science already knows about, identified a long time ago, called homeostasis. This is the ability of the body to maintain balance and stability amidst all the change that it goes through. So the system has this mechanism already that we're well aware of. But how do we address that? Does science also tell us how to get in there and make sure homeostasis is doing its job? I don't know. I don't think so. Today, we would actually benefit from both approaches, really. The scientific approach has its value, for sure. It would be good if we could continue to benefit from that. So the current system of healthcare, nothing horrible, but it's not complete. If we can introduce these more natural approaches in addition, then I think we're starting to move somewhere. So that's actually good news. I read a report recently that about half of the medical institutions now have integrative medicine courses for their med students. So that's good. That's a big step in a good direction. The Transcendental Meditation Technique is actually being offered as an elective to medical students at a medical college at the Loyola University in Chicago. It's called the Stritch School of Medicine. And the value of this, because if anybody has gone through it or knows somebody who has or has just observed it, it's a pretty rough road, is med school. And then after med school, you have to do all your residencies and things. And the physiology can get pretty taxed. It's a stressful kind of operation. But offering TM to the students is meant to provide them with a technique that they can use for their own personal well-being as they train to be physicians. Also, there is a college in the Caribbean, St. Martinus University of Medicine, that offers a 2-degree program. This is really great, and I think this is the sign of the times. It's a dual degree. You can get an MD and a Master of Science in Maharishi Ayurveda. at the same time, which is really helpful. You're going out there as a physician, and you know how to take the pulse as well, and you know how to introduce some of these more natural approaches as well. It's really, really helpful. So for now, we'll just go back and examine Ayurveda for now, because I think we're all pretty aware of the Western approach. So for the sake of my very short introduction, I really wanted to give you a view into the value of Maharishi Ayurveda towards best health. And it is encouraging that our current institutions of learning are beginning to recognize there is more to know about the overall and deeper values of health for the patient. So let's go back to the balancing principle, because that's really an important part of Ayurveda. And there's a renowned and very skilled Vaidya Manohar who talks about this principle, and I'm going to quote him. He says, "When we say balance, we mean balance in every aspect and avenue of life. That is, balance of consciousness, of mind, of body, and of senses, such that they become identified with the finest level of consciousness. Life is then sustained by the balance inherent in this state of unified consciousness. The balance experienced in consciousness is reflected in the body. So, first consciousness and the body will respond. This experience of the state of restful alertness balances the doshas." So we started talking about the doshas. "Also, the digestive fire," this is called Agni, "the tissues," called Dhatus, "the functioning of the processes of elimination," are called Malas, "and the operation of the senses, mind, and consciousness, and in this togetherness, all remain in balance." So it starts with consciousness. So Dr. Manohar explains that at the heart of Maharishi Ayurveda is the concept of creating perfect balance for the mind and body, as well as the understanding that nature is intelligent and the human body, being part of nature, has the same intelligence. And this was one of the first points we started the show with. "To gain this balance by reawakening the intelligence of the physiology and to raise one's health to the highest possible level, there are two initial recommendations and many sub-recommendations, but we're going to look at the two main ones. There are holistic growth and personal balance. Now, holistic growth is what we've been discussing already, the development of consciousness, and that's essential. And the essence of this is really going beyond the boundaries that have structured the mind in our current living and education systems. And we need to experience something deeper, something beyond these boundaries. That's what the TM technique is effective for. That's why it comes from Ayurveda. That's why it's recommended by an Ayurvedic physician that in addition to all these other modalities, that a person takes care of their own awareness and enliven it. For thousands of years, Ayurveda has understood that the mind and body are intimately connected. It prescribes mental techniques which have a profound effect on both our mental and physical health. And because they create a profound balance in mind, body, behavior, and environment, by unfolding this level of consciousness, it's truly holistic. Okay, now for personal balance, this area can get into a lot of detail. I'm just going to give you a simple overview, but it'll have some deeper points to it. For personal balance, we want to create health in order to experience that fullness of life. We want to feel integrated and whole. That means our appetite is good and we feel healthy and happy and our body tissues are working properly and elimination systems are working properly and our senses are sharp, and all of these are part of the physiology. And Maharishi Ayurveda is distinguished by this very understanding that consciousness is primary and holistic. And now, as a fundamental value, all these other areas can start to show some more balance. So Dr. Manohar explains that it's based on this holistic approach that the body, the physiology, produces vitality. Now, he explains that vitality on the physical level depends on a product that the body produces called ojas. That may be the first time you've ever heard this word. Ojas is described in Maharishi Ayurveda as the most refined and subtle essence of the physical body. It's technically the end product of food. And here's where we really get a deep lack, we find a deep lack of the value of our digestive systems and our current healthcare systems and our corporations that produce foods that are indigestible. And in my personal opinion, as I don't always give it, but I probably do, we could do a lot towards improving our health for our whole nation by improving the quality of the food that we produce. Okay, that's a separate topic. We'll leave that for the organic farmer. But it's absolutely part of best health is to eat proper food. From the Ayurvedic perspective, disease occurs when the flow of ojas, remember that's that finest value end product of digested food, when that's blocked, when that can't manage its way through the whole system. And it is that blockage that gives rise to pain. And the primary cause for the blockage of ojas are toxins. Toxins that build up due to undigested or improperly digested food. And that has a name, and that's ama. The most important factor to prevent the accumulation of ama is the strength and potency of the digestive system. And that's agni, that's fire. Remember, that was one of our five elements, which refers to the digestive fire in this case. When the diet is proper and digestion is strong, ama doesn't have a chance to form. However, when foods are eaten that agni has a difficult time processing, then ama does begin to form, and it can just complicate itself over time. And if it accumulates, it blocks ojas, which robs the tissues of their vitality, and that affects your health. So the food we eat is transformed through agni, the digestive fire, into dosha, the three operating principles of vata, pitta, and kapha, affecting the physiology, affecting the tissues, affecting the elimination systems. Ojas is very refined, and it's too refined to even be seen under a microscope. It's not quite pure consciousness. It's not quite concrete physical matter. It's kind of at that junction point between the two as consciousness becomes matter. It creates strength and vitality in the body, promoting healthy immunity. And when ojas flows unobstructed through the channels of the body called shrotas, it supports vibrant health and enhances inner happiness. It's basically just cleaning out the plaque, getting rid of those obstructions. The experience and presence of ojas in every cell of the body is really the foundation for vitality. And vitality is optimum when bodily channels, the shrotas, are clear, because ojas is the material aspect of consciousness and carries intelligence and strength and vitality. And so ojas flowing through the body, that's good. Now, we have a few minutes where I can just give you an overview of what are the three main causes for lack of ojas. And obviously, it's improper food. So with the definition of ojas as the end product of digested food, let's just take a minute and look at that. So Ayurveda looks at food as medicine. What to eat for your body's nature, how to prepare it, when to eat it, all that matters. Even the mood we're in when we're cooking and eating, that actually matters. So when we eat food, it gets transformed through the digestive fire, which means it's transformed into now more material things, doshas, dhatus, malas. And in its most refined state and final ultimate outcome, if ojas has been produced, then the food and the digestive system are good. So there are lots and lots of principles in Maharishi Ayurveda to follow regarding food. It's really not that hard to make a few changes, because a lot of our habits in the West are contrary to Ayurvedic principles. So I'll mention a few. Here's an example. Food should be clean as you can get it. Organically grown is good. Locally grown, fresh, all that's good. By clean, I mean lacking in pesticides, additives, and particularly GMO influences. Food shouldn't be frozen. So you want it to be fresh, not leftover or processed, ideally. It should be cooked and prepared with the correct spices to aid proper digestion for your body type. And all of this is laid out in Ayurveda. It has all these details. There are foods and spices that promote balance for the individual doshas, for vata, for pitta, for kapha. So that means not every food is good or bad for every person. Each person has a dosha or combination of doshas that represent their nature, and a dosha or combination of doshas that represent what is not in balance as well. And the Vaija addresses what's out of balance, as I mentioned, and prescribes what best foods to take. And some additional principles regarding food and digestion include eating the main meal at lunch rather than later in the evening. So that's a change in our culture, but it's one I've seen people do pretty easily, and more people are doing that. And this is due to the efficiency of the digestive system. It's at its best in midday, and can therefore break down the food better. Food should be of a sufficient quality to satisfy hunger, and not too much and not too little. And eating food with peace and happiness. So that means no distractions. You can have friends and family and have sweet conversation, but don't eat in front of the TV. Don't eat in the car, not on the run to catch the train. We see that all the time. That's not healthy for the digestive process. So these are just a handful. There are more. And they're not that complicated and really not that hard to start to change. And you'll see a change almost immediately just taking a few of these suggestions. Now, another reason for the accumulation of ama or lack of ojas is the buildup of ama, which can come over time, a long period of time. If it starts building up, then we have to do something to get rid of it. And there are purification procedures in Ayurveda to get rid of it. And a third reason for lack of ojas is weak or imbalanced digestive system. And that also, there are programs and procedures in Ayurveda to enhance that. And these are even topics all on their own. But I just wanted to make one point here, and that is we are learning more and more from science how important the digestive system is. Of course, we know it's important, but it's much more important than what we tend to think as we sit there and eat a whole bag of Cheetos. Unless they're organic, I suppose. But I think that's a trick. Okay, science is letting us know that our gut has a lot of stuff going on. And Dr. Keith Wallace, remember I referenced him early on, he tells us that within the digestive system is a second system called the enteric nervous system, which helps the digestive system. Now, you might have heard of this, if I said it right, but that's called the second brain, okay? And it has about 100 million neurons. It's found in the lining of your gut and makes use of particular hormones and chemicals that are also found in the brain, such as serotonin. That's something I didn't realize, but most of our serotonin is actually located here in the gut, not as much in the brain, about 90%. And 50% of dopamine is located in the gut. So science is also becoming more aware of the value of the kind of bacteria found in the gut. And all of this is helpful or harmful to the immune system. There are microorganisms in the gut called microbiomes, which send messages to the brain. So again, we're coming back to the brain. We see that interconnection of the mind-body. It's so important what we eat. So just to mention, Dr. Wallace and his wife Samantha have recently written another book called Gut Crisis: How Diet, Probiotics, and Friendly Bacteria Help You Lose Weight and Heal Your Body Mind. And that's just out, I think, or maybe you can pre-order on Amazon. But I'm hoping in the next few months we can ask Dr. Wallace to come back on the show and he can talk to us more about that. But this is a very important topic in creating our own health, because these days particularly we have to be more alert and more aware of our own health and take care of that, because it doesn't look like our administrators, our politicians are looking at our best health in that level, in that regard. So these are interesting topics, and hopefully we'll be able to address that at some point. And just to kind of summarize, because we're heading into the final minutes, I appreciate it if you hung in there and listened to some of the details, and hopefully you got a more profound and deeper understanding of Ayurveda. it's not just the doshas, although now we can see how the doshas arise and see how valuable and important they are to the intelligence of the human physiology. But it's so much more. All the treatment programs of Maharishi Ayurveda are designed to operate from the level of nature's intelligence in the physiology. And rather than treating the body as a collection of those things like cells, tissues, organs, Maharishi Ayurveda treats the body at its source and as a wholeness, yet a unique one, which is very special. Most of what we hear about health these days is a one-size-fits-all formula, but we're not all the same. And the recommendations from the Vaidya can be quite unique and tailored to that patient's physiology, based on their own body nature and combination of doshas, and particularly what is out of balance and what needs attention. And Maharishi Ayurveda provides opportunities to promote long and healthy life by enlivening the intelligence of our own physiology. So today would be nice that we could take our attention away from the bickering politics of healthcare, which, as I mentioned in the beginning, is nothing to do with health. It's all about disease care. And to bring this approach into the discussion, Maharishi Ayurveda promotes that best health is based on the relationship between human life and the laws of nature. The intelligence of nature is found in the human nervous system. So I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about Ayurveda today at a much more profound and deep level. I always appreciate that you took the time to listen, and hopefully you gained some more knowledge today. And enjoy the remaining days of summer. I'll be back next month in August. And I wish you well and perfect health.
I'm so lonely, lonely, lonely. So I went to a protest just to rub up against strangers. And I did feel like coming back.
Support for WPKN comes from the Ridgefield Playhouse, presenting a 3-night art, wine, and jazz festival. Preservation Hall Jazz Band on Thursday, July 27th, Dave Koz and Larry Graham on Friday, July 28th, and former New York Yankee-turned-jazz guitarist Bernie Williams on Saturday, July 29th. Tickets and information at RidgefieldPlayhouse.org.
On any day of the year, it's summer somewhere, and that means surfing as well. On Wednesday, July 19th, as part of WPKN's Music on Film series, The Endless Summer will be showing. Take a trip back to the mid-1960s with a seminal surf movie by filmmaker Bruce Brown, which follows two surfers on a surfing trip around the world. The movie will play at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport on Fairfield Avenue. Just look for the longboards outside. Doors open at 6 p.m. with a courtesy beer tasting from Two Roads Brewing Company. Surf music will be playing in the lobby. The movie starts at 7 p.m., and tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for students. Beachwear is encouraged. So hang 10 with friends and fans of independent community radio WPKN and some new friends from the surfing, sailing, and boarding communities as well. See you on Wednesday, July 19th at the Bijou in Bridgeport for the movie Endless Summer.
The rice when the wind blows across the water.
Hi, I'm Bill Dusing.
I'm Guy Beardsley.
And I'm Richard Hill. Join us the first and third Thursday of each month at noon for WPKN's Organic Farm Stand, bringing you news and views from the organic community.
Hear our small farm report.
The latest news on GMO labeling, pollinator protection, and organic growing techniques.
And interviews with exciting and informative authors, activists, and experts from the front lines of food system change.
Listen on the first and third Thursdays of each month from noon to one for the Organic Farm Stand from WPKN.
I'm a union man now all the way.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good. I'm a programmer at WPKN. I play music from A to Z. Just in the P's, you might hear Pavarotti, Parker, Prima, Presley, Crine, or anything in between. I might have an occasional guest. I am on the air first, the third, the fifth Monday of the month. I am also the volunteer director. We always need help here. To reach us, we're at volunteer@wpkn.org.
City Lights Gallery hosts the 7th Annual Same Sex Exhibit and the Bridgeport Pride Celebration.